Hi, welcome to the Frihoff Institute of Progressive Halakha. I'm Rabbi Mark Wachowski with the 12-minute shiur number 23, Halakha and the Regulation of Firearms, part 2, from the responsa of Rabbi Chaim David Halevi. You can download the source sheet at our website, www.frihoffinstitute.org/learning. Scroll down to the 12-minute shiur. And a more detailed written version of this shiur is also available on the same page under the heading Choshen Mishpat. Now, in our last installment, we read the first of two responsa on the issue of firearms, written by Rabbi Chaim David Halevi, the late chief Sephardic rabbi of Tel Aviv-Yafo. We learned there that the Mishnah prohibits the sale of weapons to dangerous people, but that this ban was lifted in Talmudic Babylonia because the Jews there relied upon those dangerous people, by which they meant the surrounding idol-worshipping population, for security and protection. From this, Rabbi Halevi concluded that it is halachically permissible for the state of Israel to sell weapons to allied but non-Jewish nations. And we concluded, first, that there is no halachic impediment to a community adopting any sort of sensible firearms regulations, and second, the community's debate over such regulations ought to be based in practicalities and pragmatism rather than in great moral or political principles that resist compromise. Here, in Shiur number 23, we read a second teshuva of Rabbi Halevi that fills out his teaching on the subject of firearms control. Now, unlike the previous responsa, this one talks about a more typically halachic subject, Kiddushat Beit HaKnesset, the holiness of the synagogue, and what counts as proper behavior in the synagogue. The Sheila, which we find on lines 1 through 12 of the source sheet, is about a Kohen who is authorized by the Israeli government to be in possession of his weapon at all times. Perhaps he's a soldier on duty, or a police officer, or a security guard. Now, the minhag in Eretz Yisrael is that the Kohanim perform the mitzvah of Birkat Kohanim. It's what we might call duchenin. They pronounce the priestly benediction upon the congregation every single day. So, the question, may this Kohen come to the front of the synagogue and bless the congregation while carrying his gun? The Shoel adds an additional inquiry. Is there a difference in this regard between a handgun and a bigger weapon? Halevi opens his response, lines 14 through 25, pointing out that while there's no explicit prohibition against a Kohen performing this mitzvah while armed, the Shulchan Aruch does prohibit any person from bringing a sakin aruch, a long knife, probably a sword, into a synagogue. The Shulchan Aruch draws this psak from an earlier medieval source, the Orchot Chaim, which justifies it on the grounds that Lefi shatfila ma'arechet yamav shel adam v'hasakin mikatzeret. Prayer lengthens human life, but the knife cuts it short. In other words, the presence of an instrument of death is inappropriate in a place that is supposed to be a source of life. Now, we learn in lines 27 through 36 that, according to the 17th century commentator Turei Zahav, the Taz, this prohibition is to be read strictly. A sakin aruch, a long knife, is what's prohibited in a synagogue, but not a short knife. The objection, it seems, is to visible weapons, but not to concealed weapons, so that if you can cover up your short knife, you can bring it into the synagogue. The Taz learns this in part from the minhag of covering up one's knife, but not removing it from the table, during Birkat HaMazon. The problem with all of this, as Halevi notes in lines 38 through 52, is that there's no good rational basis for this distinction in the Taz between long and short knives, between open and concealed carry. A weapon is a weapon. They all shorten human life. That idea stretches all the way back to Exodus chapter 20, verse 22. V'im mizbach avanim ta'ase li, lo tivne et hen gazit, ki halbacha he nafta aleha vatichalaleha. If you make for me an altar of stones, do not build it of hewn stones. For by wielding your tool, which literally your sword upon them, you have profaned them. And the Gaon of Vilna traces the actual rule to Mishnah Midot, Perek 4, Mishnah 3, which prohibits the use of iron tools to construct the Mizbeach Shebevet HaMikdash, the altar in the temple, on the grounds that the altar was created to lengthen our lives, while iron, which makes weapons, was created to shorten them. In other words, the very same reasoning we see in the Shulchan Aruch. Nonetheless, Halevi writes, it seems that no poskim disagree with the Turei Zahav, who prohibits only long knives. Halevi is wary of advancing beyond the boundaries of his precedents, even if, as he tells us in lines 54 through 64, some Kabbalists or Mekubalim do just that. They do prohibit the wearing of iron implements of any kind during prayer. But there's no need for this, halachically, says Halevi, because even in the temple, iron was prohibited only in the building of the altar. It was permissible to bring in iron implements like knives for other appropriate purposes, such as slaughtering the sacrifices. And so this is the position he takes in lines 67 through 91 as he turns directly to our She'elah. Certainly in Israel, where we live in a constant state of security alert, it is appropriate for those commissioned to carry weapons to bring them into the synagogue. Ideally, they would be concealed, but since we face a situation of pikuach nefesh, of clear and present danger to human life, the permit would apply even to long guns that cannot be concealed. Now, pikuach nefesh, we tend to say, is dochet hakol. It's an argument that supersedes all other concerns. Once you raise pikuach nefesh, nothing else should matter. So it's interesting that Halevi makes the point, beginning in line 93, that while a Kohen may bless the community while carrying a concealed weapon, he should not do so when carrying a gun that is visible. Pikuach nefesh or not, painful reality requires compromise. We bring weapons into the synagogue when we must, but at the end of the day, even though pikuach nefesh is involved, guns and prayer do not mix, and it is wrong to suggest that they do. So, we've read two responsa of Rabbi Chaim David Halevi on our subject, and we found that they complement each other. Indeed, they are mirror images of each other. The Teshuvah we read in our last installment begins with principle and it ends with practicality. The Mishnaic prohibition against selling weapons to dangerous people is a reminder of what our societies in principle should do. While the Talmud's lifting of that ban signals that we do, practically speaking, what we must do in order to protect ourselves. Now, the responsum we read in this installment begins with the practicalities. Rabbi Halevi accepts that due to the state of constant alert, of Sha'at HaDachak and Konanut prevalent in Israel, and we would add increasingly prevalent for Jewish communities throughout the world, some persons must be allowed to bring guns into the synagogue. There is no evading this reality. He therefore has to find a way to exempt our synagogues from the rule in the Shulchan Aruch against bringing in long knives, the underlying logic of which would prohibit all weapons, short knives, long knives, long guns, short guns, in a place of holiness. And he does set aside that rule, that prohibition. Yet, even the very real consideration of pikuach nefesh, the ultimate foundation of his permit for guns in the synagogue, even pikuach nefesh is not enough for him to allow a Kohen to carry an unconcealed weapon while standing before the congregation and reciting the priestly benediction, which is, after all, the blessing of peace, Ya'er Adonai Panav Elecha V'Asem Lecha Shalom. So, what does all of this teach us about the issue of firearms regulation? Well, it teaches us, above all, that guns, at best, are a necessary evil. Necessary at times, but evil, always evil, just the same. Because they are necessary, because we need them for our protection, we aren't going to ban them from our midst entirely. But because they are evil, we have every right to demand sensible regulations and controls. That's the position that we ought to be taking in the debates over firearms regulations in our societies. After all, pikuach nefesh works both ways. We need guns to protect us from danger. But then again, we need the law to protect us from guns. This has been the 12-Minute Shiur number 23 from the Frihof Institute of Progressive Halakha. Thanks for learning with us. Lehitraot.